very familiar passage of Scripture. But something that's needful today, because the tempter will never stop tempting you. So what we have to need to know, or what we need to know is how do we overcome those temptations? The first thing we have to know is what does He do to tempt us? Chapter 4 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "Then was Jesus led up," watch it, "of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." Notice what led Him there. You understand that He was being taken into the wilderness to be tempted. He wasn't being led to the promised land. He wasn't being led to a place of great provision. The Spirit was leading Him into the place of testing, of trial, of tribulation, of trouble. And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He was an afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to Him, He said, "If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread." But He would be Jesus, and answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Then the devil taketh Him up into the holy city and setteth Him on the pinnacle of the temple. He saith unto Him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone." Jesus said, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again the devil taketh Him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth Him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And He saith unto Him, "All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship Me." Then saith Jesus unto Him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve." And the devil leaveth Him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto Him. Father, we'd ask now that You might bless not only the portion of Scripture that has been read, but You might bless the message today. God, You might help us physically, emotionally, spiritually, Lord, most of all, to be able to impart the things that You showed us, that it might strengthen and encourage the brethren in these last days in which we're gathered. God, so many temptations cross our paths on such a regular basis. It's a needful time for us to understand how the devil works in our life, but more importantly, how You work in our life. God, we pray that You'll help us to be able to accent these things today. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Notice, if you will, as you're being seated in chapter number 3, when this temptation took place. You know, the greatest temptations take place sometimes after the greatest blessings. Sometimes after things go really, really good, they go really, really bad. Sometimes when you get up and everything seems to be going great, and you've had a great vacation Bible school, you've had a great camp, you've had a great revival meeting, you've got all your bills paid, you've had a couple of jobs come through, or whatever it might be, that's the time of sometimes greatest temptation. And it's not always the devil that's doing the tempting. Sometimes it's actually the Lord that leads you out into the wilderness to be tempted, because it requires faith for you to be able to please God Almighty. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. God doesn't make a point of showing us everything that's going to transpire. When He called Moses, as I said this morning, out at the burning bush, He didn't show Moses how he was going to stop just short of the promised land and how he was going to be able to see the great provision of God through the manna and through the quail and through the water from the rock, how He was going to lead out after the plagues came there in Egypt, how He was going to lead them out through the wilderness, not by the way of the Philistines, but over there by the Red Sea, how He was going to split the Red Sea and the walls of water were going to gather up, and Pharaoh was going to come in there, and the water was going to fall down, and Pharaoh was going to be destroyed, and all the bodies thrown out on the beach. He didn't show him any of that. He simply said to him, "Moses, take off your shoes. Now what I want you to do is I want you to go over there and tell Pharaoh, let my people go." You realize later on with Joshua, he did the same thing. He never told Joshua the end of the story. He said, "Joshua, here's what I want you to do. It's time for you now to go fight this battle. But Lord, we've never fought a battle before. You go down there and fight that battle. Moses is going to be up here praying. Aaron and Hur are going to hold up his. They're all going to do their job. You just do your job." And so Joshua goes and wins that battle, but it's not over with there. Then he tells him to go out and destroy this king and destroy this king and destroy those kings and destroy these people. And he conquers, but it's one step at a time before he ever gets ready to cross over the Jordan River. What does that require? It requires faith. The one thing that we lack today is a trial or a testing of our faith. Tribulation, trouble, tests our faith like nothing else. Trouble, trials, difficulty, suffering are the things that really try our faith. And just like the Lord here in the wilderness of temptation, He sets the benchmark, He sets the example. He shows us that even after a great meeting with God, that God will oftentimes bring you in to find out whether or not you're going to trust Him to do what He tells you to do. Look in chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Brother, will you close that blind just a little bit? There's a glare coming out. Every time I look that way, it feels like I'm getting my picture taken and I lose my eyesight here on the Bible. Thank you. Give me a second here. It'll clear up in just a second. All right, verse 16. And Jesus, when He was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, went up straightway out of the water, went up straightway out of the water. You say, what happened? He went down there and got sprinkled? No, He was down in the river. He got baptized down in the river. That was happened to the Ethiopian eunuch. The Ethiopian eunuch was a Gentile. The Apostle Paul comes over there. You know what he does? He says, I baptize, I baptize, I baptize. But then when he says, I came not to baptize, what he's telling you there is I came to preach the gospel, not to save you by baptism. You got to be careful how you divide that thing. You say, why? It takes humility for you to submit yourself and to go in here and to be buried with Him and then raised again to newness of life. So I don't believe that. Okay, well, it don't make any difference whether you do or not. It's still something you ought to do. The Bible says the testimony of a good conscience toward God. God, Jesus Christ submitted Himself to it. What's your problem? You get a little quiet there. We're a Baptist church. There's a lot of churches that believe in just throwing water on you. Well, if you believe that that's how you wind up getting buried, if that's what it's a type picture of, you're getting buried like in the grave. The old man is dead. So if you really believe that, then go tie yourself up to a tree when you die and just fling dirt on you and you'll be good to go. It's a type of the burial. That's funny. So you're making fun of people that sprinkle. You know what, folks? You got to, at some point in time, you got to get over yourself. You got to quit being so critical. You know, well, you're making fun of people that they're wrong. You understand? They're wrong. That's just the bottom line. They're wrong. We don't believe in baptism by sprinkling. Ain't no sprinkling in the Bible. Notice what the Bible says. The Bible says it's straightway up out of the water. Out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, not a dove, but like a dove, and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, watch it, in whom I am well pleased. He's in the perfect will of God, doing exactly what God wants him to do, and he's fixing to start his ministry. And guess what he's fixing to learn? Ministry comes from misery. You being able to minister to other people is going to require you having been through something yourself. The one thing we try so hard to avoid is the one thing God says, listen, if you really want to be a minister, if you really want to be a help, you have to have been through something yourself. But I will get you through those things, but you'll learn things about me by faith that you can't learn any other way. You can't tell somebody else about what faith is unless you know what it is to exercise your own faith. You know what it is to not be spiritually dead, to not be spiritually slothful, and to not backslide. It is simply to keep your faith exercised and to walk where God says to walk, even if you don't know what the outcome is. You just trust God to get you through one step at a time, and that'll keep your faith fresh before God. It's that getting comfortable where you are. It's that wandering around in the wilderness and going, I don't really want to go over Jordan. I don't want to go into the promised land. I don't like those giants over there, and I don't care how good the food is. I kind of like it down here in the wilderness. And you'll be spiritually dead before midnight. What happens is our faith has to be stretched. It has to be tested. The tensile strength of any steel must be put to the test or you don't know how strong it is. And then when this pressure comes, it'll snap because it hasn't been tested. Tests are good for us. The Bible says in Genesis chapter number 22 that God did tempt. That means in Hebrews He says He tested, He tried Abraham. Abraham, do you love me? Yeah, take your son, your only son Isaac, to the land I'll tell you of, and offer him there for a burnt offering, a sacrifice, over there on the mountain of Moriah. You say, why would God do that? To keep Abraham's faith fresh. We get stale because we don't get tested. We don't get stretched beyond our own capacity. And listen, if you just get comfortable doing the same thing every time you go to the gym, you're not going to make any progress. Spiritually, we make no progress because when it comes to our faith being tested, two things. Number one, we don't know what it is to be led of the Spirit. And number two, we don't want to be put to the test. And there's only one way to test your faith, and that is for God to ask you to do something and you can't see the outcome of it. Moses or Joshua never saw the outcome of it. Abraham never saw him getting Isaac back and coming off of that mountain. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that Abraham believed that God had made him a promise, and so by faith Abraham went up there and he offered it. Listen, all through that Bible, if you look in the faith chapter right there, every one of those individuals is moving and God's doing something with them that they don't understand the outcome. The idea, the very idea, should I say, that God should tell us the end of the story is not good for us so that we know what we're doing and where we're going. All I know is we're headed for heaven, but along the way, God's got a different path for every one of you. And the first temptation that He gets right here is to try to get Him to do the right thing at the wrong time. This is a great time for you to be hurt. When you're up on the mountaintop and things are going good, look in Luke chapter number 17. Hold your place right there. We're coming back to it. He's taking him to a desolate place, a dangerous place. The Bible says in Mark chapter number 1, it's a place of wild beasts. It's a deserted place. Listen, that's what you're surrounded with nowadays. And the thing that you don't understand is the Lord sometimes will use those closest to you to offend you to keep you from testing your faith. Sometimes it's a trial of your faith because you have to overcome the temptation, but sometimes you have to overcome what other people do. Because God said, this is where I want you to go. Well, Lord, if this is where you want me to go, how come so-and-so said such-and-such? And why didn't they pick me to do this and that? And why didn't they recognize me for this? And why didn't they do this? And why didn't they do that? Because by faith, I'm here because this is where God wants me to be. Well, how's it going to be? How's it going to work out? What position are you going to have? By faith, I'm doing every day what God wants me to do. He hadn't showed me the end of the story yet. He called me from the other side of an open door, just told me to go through it. But He didn't show me what's on the other side. Why? Because He wants my faith tested. Sometimes it gets tested among us. One of the greatest times to get offended or upset is right after a mountaintop experience. Right after God's been good to you. The Bible says in Luke chapter number 17, then He said to the disciples, it's impossible, but that offenses will come, but woe unto them through who they come. This has to do with personal conflict. Watch. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the depths of the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves, if thy brother trespass against thee. Isn't that interesting? They're fixing to ask him to have their faith increased. You know what he's fixing to say? One of the ways your faith has to get increased is you have to stop being so stinking easily offended. He doesn't say stinking, but that's what he's fixing to say. Yeah. Notice what he says. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. If he repent, forgive him. Go to him and straighten it out. And if he said, I'm sorry, then forgive him. That means you forget it. Let it go. Leave it alone. Stop monkeying with it. Stop holding it against him. Watch it. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And what do they say? Lord, increase our faith. Lord, I really have to trust what you're saying in that Bible to really believe by faith that that's the right thing for me to do because it don't make no sense to my flesh. Do you know what they did to me? Lord said, I know what they did to me, but I know what the Bible tells me to do. I say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I say, forgive them and let it go. Oh, but Lord, you don't understand. Really? I don't understand. What he's saying there is it requires you to trust what the Bible says and not what you want to believe and not how... Well, but preacher, you don't understand. Hey, I'm not going to argue with you about your reason for holding on, but that Bible says to you that if you want your faith tested, sometimes it has to do with getting along with other people that have jolly well offended you, and sometimes they are in the wrong. But God says, you're going to let something little like that get between me and you? You're going to let something like that keep you from church? You're going to let something like that keep you from the Bible? You're going to let something like that keep you from prayer and fellowship with me? You're going to let something like that keep you from being filled with the Spirit? Well, then go ahead and let the devil take you. Because he'll get you to do the right thing at the wrong time. So the next thing you know, well, I ain't going. Now you got a justification. 90% of the church splits that go on because somebody got upset over what somebody said. It has nothing to do with doctrine at all. Now they'll find something doctrinal to hide it behind. One of the things I'm trying to help you to understand is that if you want your faith tested, He's going to use what's right close by you first and foremost. It ain't always some wilderness experience. Sometimes it's right next to you. Sometimes it lives in the same house with you. Sometimes it lives in the same house with you. Yes, sir. Ladies, it ain't always easy to live with your husband, is it, honestly? Men, it ain't always easy to live with your wife, is it? You yellow belly. There ain't no man and no woman in here that gets along all the time. You say, well, we don't never argue. No, you do the silent treatment. You don't argue so you can be spiritual, but you go to this corner and you go to this corner and you're waiting for somebody to ding the bell so you can come back out and get at it again. You're arguing just the same. One of you's done walked off down the road and one of you's done gone and you got a lip pooched out so low you could eat ice cream out of a butter churn. Oh, but you don't argue with nobody. You're just sitting over there, you know, I ain't talking to him. He don't talk to me. You're living in the same house. Somebody better do some talking pretty quick. Or next thing you know, it'll wind up creating problems. You say, what have I got to do? The Bible says that it's better for you to forgive her. But do you know what she did? Lady, let me tell you something. That man ain't going to be fixed until he is dead. You understand? I don't care what man you are, there ain't no perfect husband in here. You say, I'll have you know my wife. Your wife's a liar. There ain't no perfect man in here. There ain't no way, maybe your wife's a good woman and she don't bring out all your faults, but there ain't no woman in here that, being completely honest, would say, oh, my husband, not if you've been married more than 6 weeks. That first 6 minutes goes okay, the first 6 hours is pretty well. When you start getting on out there, you hit that third six, you're headed for trouble. Amen. You say, what are you trying to tell me, preacher? I'm trying to tell you that there's a time when you can get mentally tired, physically tired, emotionally tired, spiritually tired, and that's the time when that cotton picking sandpaper with feet shows up on it, and they just get right up by you. And it's like, oh! Why do you have to show up now? Why didn't you show up when I was on the mountaintop and I was all spiritual? Now that I'm out in the wilderness, you show up and now you're grinding on me too. Do you know what I'm going through? The Lord says, forgive them. Ain't no big deal. In light of eternity, what's it going to matter? But you know what we wind up doing? Come back to Matthew chapter number 4. You know what we wind up doing? We wind up taking that pressure. And you know what we wind up saying? Our physical needs are more important than our soul's needs. We have a tendency to seek the world's way of handling things instead of seeking God. And what we do is try to figure out some kind of way, some kind of form, some kind of a fashion that we can work ourselves out. Listen, one of the worst things that has happened to humankind, but especially down here where we live, is that cotton-picking pride. That pride that always says, you know, I don't need God, I got it myself. I don't need your help, I got it myself. I don't need anybody's charity, I got it myself. You know what happens? Sometimes God puts you in a position and says, hey, you trust me on faith? Yeah. Okay, here, you're going to take the charity. I don't need your charity. Lord's like, you trust me, don't you? Yeah. Take the charity. But Lord, I'm self-made. It's that pride, that arrogance. Only by pride cometh what? Contention. So guess what happens? Here comes the contention between the devil and here comes the contention between the Lord, because the devil says, I don't need you to get what I want. I can, matter of fact, take what I got and I can make you believe like I believe. Of course, he ran into a problem because the Lord knew the book. Now, I want to show you something here and I'm going to ask you a question and I'm going to kind of put you on notice now right up front. I'm just going to tell you right up front, this ain't going to be pretty. Because you have to individually know how God talks to you in order to be able to overcome the temptation in the wilderness. Because the wilderness temptation comes when you are alone, when you are by yourself. You can be surrounded by a sea of people, and some of you are today, and you feel all alone and all by yourself, and nobody understands you, and nobody gets what you're going through, and you're looking for direction. And you know what the devil does? He shows up and he says to you, yea, hath God said? He shows up with a question mark or starts asking stupid things that have nothing to do with God or the Bible or nothing else, just stupid stuff. And you're thinking to yourself, listen, man, I'm struggling to keep my head above water. I'm having trouble and I'm having problems. This ain't what I need right now. You better know how God talks to you. Yes, I know he uses the Bible. Yes, I know he uses the Holy Spirit. Yes, I know he uses the preacher. But you better know when it is the Holy Spirit, not the preacher talking to you. You better know when it's the Holy Spirit using the Bible to talk to you and not the devil. I'll say that again. You better know when it's the Holy Spirit using the Bible and not the devil. Listen, the devil used Scripture when he came at the Lord. He left a little bit out and he put a little bit in, and you would have to have the Bible to know that he did that. All temptation is not just wicked and ungodly and something that is unspiritual. Most of our temptation has a spiritual taste to it, a tint to it. So you know what you better do? You better know how God speaks to you. Look at John chapter 16. I'll come back to the other two temptations in just a little bit. John chapter number 16. The Bible tells you that when the Lord left, He said, He was getting ready to leave, and He promised something to you. Did He not? John chapter number 16. Now you need to understand what I'm about to try to show you. The Holy Spirit, when you got saved, you got all of Him you're ever going to get. He didn't get all of you, but you got all of Him. Alright? So we don't want to grieve Him. We don't want to vex Him. We don't want to quench Him. That keeps Him from operating in the power that He needs for us to overcome the temptation, the trouble, the trial, the difficulty. Jesus is hungry. And Jesus is wanting bread. And He uses Scripture to point to a place in Psalms 91 basically saying to Him, listen, you're going to turn the stones to bread one day. Why not do that now? Now, what the Lord says is, you know what? I can do it, and I can do it with Scripture to back it up. But guess what? The Lord said, no, you don't understand. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That means every word rightly divided. That means that He could have taken that Scripture and applied that Scripture, but He would have been applying that Scripture in the wrong place at the wrong time and would have been out of will of God with a verse to do it. You better be careful to know your Bible to make sure the devil's not trying to say, now listen, you know what I believe over here? I just believe that you could use this verse right here. And the Bible says that they all spake with tongues, so that must mean everybody should also the shantai, untie a bow tie, economy Honda. Amen. If you say that real fast, that's what tongues sounds like. You got a verse of Scripture to do it. They all spake with other tongues. The Holy Ghost came on them, and they all spake with other tongues. Yeah, but you didn't rightly divide that thing. So now you have Scripture to be able to justify doing what you really wanted to do anyway, because that's going to be the next temptation. It's one of those things, make yourself look good. Jump off the pinnacle of the temple. Come on, do something spiritual to show how spiritual you are. Go stand out on a street corner when God didn't call you to, but you're spiritual. Get you a big gigantic bumper sticker and stick it on your car because you're spiritual. If God called you to do it, help yourself and have at it. But let me just warn you two things. Number one, that don't make you spiritual, and it don't mean somebody else ain't spiritual. It means you do what God told you to do, and don't you worry about what everybody else does. It ain't none of your business what they're doing. You better hoe your own taters and keep your own row straight. You can't be hoeing taters in your garden and watching somebody else's cotton grow. I'm trying to help you this morning. You need to learn how God talks to you. John chapter number 16, the Bible says this, nevertheless I tell you, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. John 16, verse 8. When He is come, He will, 1, reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness and judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on Me. Of righteousness, because I go to My Father. I got a long way to go, so I'm talking fast. I'm feeling a little better now. And ye see Me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world to be judged. Watch it. If I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all what? Truth. Well, wouldn't the devil like to take that and turn it just a little bit like he did over there in the wilderness of temptation and quote Scripture, and he gives him a true passage, but he puts it in the wrong place? Man, if you ever thought that Jesus didn't believe in rightly dividing His Bible, you'd have to be a fool to be able to look over that passage right there, because when the Lord says that, He's actually quoting Scripture to him. Amen. But the Lord says, you're putting the wrong piece in the wrong place. Right. It don't work here. Right. And He's not overcome by the temptation. You say, why? Because He knew what His directions were. Right. Watch it. And he says this, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is your guide, your director, and your teacher. Is that true?
Yes.
John chapter number 20, before we get out of this. John chapter number 20. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That means when they were speaking before it was written, that it was actually the Holy Ghost that was speaking through them. Over there with the Apostle Peter, he's talking in Acts chapter number 1. And when he gets to talking in Acts chapter 1, he says, David, through the power of the Holy Ghost, said unto you. That means when David's writing those Psalms down, that the Holy Ghost is actually doing the talking. You got an advantage. You already got what they used to have to hear. You already got it written. You only have to read your Bible and ask God to speak to you through what's already written, because you've already got the inspired Word of God. You're not waiting for somebody to speak. You can read it every day, any time of the hour of the day, you can read that Bible. Watch what he says in John chapter number 20. John chapter 20, are you with me? Verse number 22. Let's move quickly. The Bible says this. Verse number 21, that Jesus said unto them, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now you understand, he's getting ready to go. And so if you take the Bible and go over to Luke chapter number 24, you know what you'll find out? You'll find out there were certain things that they didn't understand until the Holy Ghost showed them. Luke chapter 24. There's certain things I'll show you from the Bible that you can't understand until the Holy Ghost shows them to you. You can't get them. It's not just a matter of head knowledge. Listen, you know what faith is? Faith is putting into action what you've heard. Otherwise, you just get a bunch of knowledge and that puffs you up. Everybody knows that. Faith must be exercised. It must be stretched. It must be tested. It must be tried in order for it to operate as faith. Otherwise, all you've done is heard a bunch of things, but you never put them to the test. If I were to say to you, let's say, Brother David said to me, he said, listen, I know that bench, it's rated for 200 pounds. It'll hold you up. Now I say, okay, I believe that. And I never go sit in it. You know what? I know that that bench is supposed to hold up 200 pounds, but I don't know that it'll hold up 200 pounds. This is a stupid illustration, but I want you to understand something. I can know that, but unless I act on it, I don't believe that. And then somebody says, well, why don't you have a seat? Until I walk over here, I've heard it. I've got the knowledge. I know it. But you know what happens? I don't have the faith to believe that's true until I sit down and go, you know what? That's right. He said it would hold over 200 pounds, and it's holding me up. And guess what? It held me up. So now my faith has been exercised. I got that one step out of the way. Do you understand? Your faith has to be put to the test. It's not just, well, now that I'm saved and everything's all right and we're all good now, and then you're just as dead as 4 o'clock in the morning. You say, why? Because you're not being tested. You're reading it. You're studying it sometimes. You're even hearing it, but you ain't putting no shoe leather to it. You're saying, wait a minute, listen, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing. Yes, but he also says, be ye not hearers only, but also what? You say, why? Because this right here is what makes it effective in faith. You have to exercise the faith, not the knowledge. It's the shoe leather. Watch Luke chapter number 24, if you will please. Verse number 44. This is all just set up. I'm getting somewhere. If you just bear with me for a second. Luke chapter number 24, verse number 44. The Bible said, he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Watch it. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. They had heard it, but they didn't understand it. Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1. A lot of Bible this morning. It won't hurt you. I promise. It won't hurt you at all.
Amen.
Break your Bible in real good. Make it look like you believe it because you're using it. Amen?
Amen?
Don't let the things about the Holy Spirit scare you. Romans chapter 8 is full of the Spirit said, 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 the Spirit said. Just because the charismatic takes that thing and warps it and tries to turn it into some sort of an emotional thing or some kind of physical thing, don't let that spook you from understanding that God speaks to you now through the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit in you, and He will guide you, and He will direct you, and He will teach you all things. You say, well, preacher, you're showing me these things. Yeah, I'm showing you, but the Holy Spirit's the one teaching you. I can't show you, only He can. I'll guarantee you this, there'll be some people here this morning go, what was he all wound up about? There'll be somebody here that'll go, I didn't see that. I didn't get that. I didn't understand that. Well, if you're not saved, you ain't going to get what I'm talking about. You say, why? You can't. That's what the Bible says. It's a closed book to you. You can understand salvation, but beyond that, you can't get it. Do you realize you can be carnal and backslidden, and the Lord will shut off the revelation? You won't get it at all. Somebody will go, man, I wish so-and-so was here to hear that sermon. It wouldn't matter if they were here to hear it anyway. If their heart is hardened unto unbelief, it doesn't make any difference. The sermon's always for somebody else. I don't come to church to get a message for somebody else. I come to church and say, Lord, me, help me. I need help. Me. Well, I mean, whack me out, knock me out, do something, but I want to know you're real in my life. You just get up and go, you know what? We'll just take a Bible and open it up and give a few verses and everybody's good, right? Okay, good. Enjoy your dinner, see you at supper. Watch what the Bible says, Acts chapter number 1, verse number 2. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that, and when the Lord's taken up, he threw what?
Holy Ghost.
Don't be afraid. He threw what?
Holy Ghost.
Had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. So he had given the commandments through the Holy Ghost. Look in verse 16, same chapter. Verse number 16. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David. Wow. Spake before concerning Judas. That's over in Psalm 41, which was a guide to them that took Jesus. Listen, he says, listen, David was talking, but it was really the Holy Ghost speaking through him. You were hearing David speak, but it was the Holy Ghost speaking through him. So he says to these apostles, I got some things to tell you, and I'm going to use the Holy Ghost to do so. Acts chapter number 10. Acts chapter number 10. I'm coming back to temptation in just a minute. Acts chapter number 10. That first temptation comes along. Hey, do something the right thing at the wrong time. Amen? Preacher, I need to take some time off. Okay. Why would it be on Sunday? I'm just saying. Why don't you take one of your work days off? See, the way we're geared nowadays, ladies and gentlemen, is the spiritual things are not as important as the physical things. I know you don't like that, but it's true. The fact of the matter is you don't get upset and not go to Walmart if somebody don't speak to you or you can't find a parking place. You keep going back. But if you come to church and you're looking to be offended, I'll guarantee you somebody will offend you before you even get out of your car. They'll zip in front of you and take your parking place, or you'll hit the only mud puddle in the place, or you'll step down and bust the heel off of your fancy shoes or something like that. And I don't know why I go to this church anyway. You say, why? Well, because offenses come. So you better find out how God talks to you. Look in Acts chapter number 11. Did I give you that already? No, I haven't. 10. Acts chapter number 10, verse number 19. While Peter thought on the vision, this is him going to the to Cornelius over there, the Gentile, and he says, the Spirit said unto him. Who did? It wasn't Jesus. It was the Spirit. The Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Hey, Peter, yes, sir. I want you to go down there and talk to that man Cornelius. You say, Lord, he's a Gentile. Yeah, he is. He's a Roman Gentile. He's a bad guy, Italian fellow over there. He probably eats salami all the time and eats pork and all that kind of stuff, Peter. But I want you to go talk to him. Lord, it's not for me to go to the Jew. I mean, to the Gentile, for me to go to the Jew. The Lord said, hey, I want you to go to see Corny over there, and I want you to tell him about me. Now, you trust what I'm telling you to do. Now, don't you know that Peter had to learn to listen to what God said, or he wouldn't have gone to see the guy? Do you say, why? Because originally God had told him, go not to the way of the Gentile, but only the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But now the Holy Spirit said, now it's time for you to go to the Gentile. He had to be tuned in. He had to listen to what God was saying to him. He couldn't just say, I've already found out what I'm supposed to do. I'm sticking with this and I'm done with it. You say, why? He has to, by faith, learn to follow God. How's God talk to you, Peter? Well, this time he came down on a sheet and showed me some things about what he calls clean, don't me call unclean. Then he calls me later on and tells me I'm supposed to go over here and see this guy who's seen some kind of a vision or something. And I'm not really sure about it. But guess what? I go over there and the guy speaks in tongues. And I realize he got the Holy Ghost. And so I'm like, uh-oh, now what do I do? Because there's an unbelieving Jew present. Whole other story. Look, if you will, please, with me in Acts chapter number 11. Acts chapter number 11. What are you getting at? You better learn how God talks to you.
Amen.
You better learn how God speaks to you. Do you know how God speaks to you? Have you ever considered that? Does the Holy Spirit control your direction? Is He your guide, your director, and your teacher? Does He lead you? Does He guide you? Leave your finger right here and come to the book of Romans real quick. We're coming back to Acts chapter number 11. Let me show you something in Romans. Because some of you are kind of like, I don't know about all this Holy Ghost stuff, man. Listen, you ain't going to have to be handling no snakes or nothing around here. We don't believe in that foolishness. You ain't going to be drinking no poison, and we ain't going to be knocking nobody down and them jumping around doing the hoochie-coo on the floor and all that and covering them up with a sheet and all that foolishness. I'm talking about listening to the voice of God when He talks to you. Do you know when God speaks to you? Do you know how He speaks to you? I'll guarantee you this, He speaks to all of us differently. My sheep know My voice. Do you know His voice? I'm not talking about just for salvation. I'm talking about for direction. God, what do You want me to do? Listen, over there in the wilderness, you know what He does? Over there in the wilderness, He has a cloud by day and a fire by night. You remember that passage?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Trust me, you want to remember that or we will go all the way back to Exodus 13. Read it later. I'm just telling you. All right? Listen, here's what happens. He says, listen, I got you a pillar of fire in the day, a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And He says this. He says, when the pillar of fire comes and dwells over the tabernacle, you know what He says? Stay there until the pillar of fire gets up to go. Sometimes it was a day, sometimes it was a week, sometimes it was a year. You say, what happened? The Lord sometimes tell you, just stay here and camp out. Lord, give me direction. Stay here, I hadn't moved yet. Stay here, I hadn't moved yet. Stay here, I hadn't moved yet. Later on, you'll find out in the book of Deuteronomy that in that cloud and in that fire was the angel of the Lord, which is Jesus Christ. And you know what He says? He said, listen, don't you doubt Him, and don't you question Him, and don't you come against Him, because He's not going to show you any mercy. I don't have time to go there, but what He's trying to say there is that when He tells you to do something, be obedient to it, get up and go. But if He tells you to stay, sit down and stay. Don't be, I'm looking to go all the time. I'm looking to jump. I'm looking to jump. I'm looking to jump. I'm supposed to jump. I gotta jump. I gotta be moving. Sometimes the Lord says, hey, sit down, shut up, and be still and know that I'm God. He doesn't say move and know that I'm God. He doesn't say be quick and know that I'm God. He doesn't say be fast and run and know that I'm God. He says sometimes you've got to be stinking still. The stinking is my own interpretation there. Sometimes you've got to learn to just wait upon the Lord to have your strength renewed. And one of the things the devil wants to do is when you're sitting around waiting, is get behind you and say, go on and jump. Go on and jump. Go on and jump. You see these kingdoms out here? Don't you want them now? You surely you want them now? Listen, if you'll just do it the easy way, cut the cross out, get the crown now. Hey, listen, man, just cut it. Just bow down to me, humble yourself to me. I'll go ahead and give you. You don't have to suffer. You don't have to sacrifice. You don't have to hang out. Listen, man, you can have it right now. You know what the Lord says? Sit down. Rest of you a while. Be still. Hang out just a little bit. We don't like that. We like the moving, moving, moving. We don't like the sitting, sitting, sitting. We used to sing all the time, you know, you can't sing standing on the promises when you're sitting on the premises. Yes, you can. Sometimes God wants you to sit. And let me just help some of you. I can't yet. Let me try to help some of you men of Belial that are traveling with the soldiers of David. Sometimes God does want them to sit by the brook and guard the stuff. And it ain't your place to put them in battle. They were as much in the will of God as the other individual was out fighting the battle. You don't look at anybody around here and go, they don't never do nothing. Maybe God don't want them to do nothing. Can I ask you a question? Are you doing what God wants you to do? Well, I don't know about you, but when I'm doing what God wants me to do, it keeps me busy enough. I ain't got time to worry about what everybody else is doing. You say, what are you doing right now? I'm preaching. You say, well, that takes my full attention, man. I'm not watching whether you are, whether you ain't. I'm just trying to listen to what He's having to say, and I'm trying to make sure that the communication stays open, and I'm trying to give you what He's giving me for the next couple hours so that you'll get whatever He's saying. Really, I mean that. Not the two-hour thing, but I mean the other part. Do you understand what will happen is that all of a sudden you're sitting and you're thinking, man, this is good. And then some braying donkey comes by you and goes, you ain't doing nothing for God. Supposed to be serving, serving, serving. Let's get busy, busy, busy. Well, let me just remind you, there is a woman who had a memorial built to her over there in the book of John. And you know what her name is? Her name is Mary. And you know where you always found her? Sitting, 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 sitting at the feet of Jesus. She wasn't serving. At least there ain't no mention of it. Now maybe she served when she wasn't sitting, but whenever Jesus was there, it was time for her to set a spell and to learn some things. And some of you are sitting here right now, you ain't hearing nothing I'm saying because you're already mad, you're already offended, you're already upset. The Bible tells you you're supposed to come to me and you're supposed to forgive me, so please forgive me, but I'm going to say it anyway. You're sitting here and you can't enjoy church because you've been busting your hind end around here and ain't nobody helped you and ain't nobody recognized you. And you're looking around at everybody here that ain't done nothing, and you've done everything. Hallelujah, glory to God. The devil wants to get you up, and if you get up before God's ready for you to get up, you will get up and you will get out. You get up when God says to get up. And you get busy when God says to get busy. Maybe you need your strength right now. Maybe you're guarding the stuff right now. Maybe if you get too busy taking care of the things here at the church, that your family will go to waste. Help me. I'm trying to help you. I really am not trying to hurt you, but this is important stuff. Did I give you Romans chapter number 8? Okay, verse 14. Verse 14. The Bible says this, verse 13, if you live after the flesh, you shall what? So keep your foolishness going, and you die. Bell said, God ain't convicted of me. You're going to tell me that sucking cigarettes and drinking liquor and going to some of the places you go and doing some of the things you're doing, you're going to tell me that that's not living after the flesh? I'll kiss your foot. You know that's living after the flesh. He says, if you keep doing it, that's the Holy Ghost telling you, if you keep doing it, you're going to die. I appreciate that. You keep doing it, you're going to die. Say when? I don't know. When he said, in the day thou shalt eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. 900 years later, he died, but he kicked off, didn't he? He lost his fellowship with the Lord, didn't he? It may not be that he judges you today, but you know what he said? Keep on doing your foolishness, I'll kill you. You kill yourself. Keep eating like you're eating, you're going to die. You say, why? Your arteries get clogged up, and your heart one day goes, trying to get that blood through that stuff in your artery and pumping through there, and you get to be out of the body and present with the Lord. Say, well, Lord, I guess it was my time. No. I'm planning on you going quite so soon, but you sped it up a little bit with the two all beef patties and the double cheese and the french fries on the side. You were amening when I was talking about liquor and cigarettes, but comes the stuff in that pie hole, boy, it's a different story, ain't it? It's hard, still in the Bible, still supposed to say it. Please don't be offended. I'm sorry if I offended you. Please forgive me. Romans chapter number 8, he says this. He said, but if through the what? Read it with me, verse 13. But if they through the what?
Spirit.
Capital it. Thank you, TK. I'm glad you're still here. The Bible says, if they through the what?
Spirit
do mortify the deeds of the... I don't know why Baptists are scared to say that. You shall live. So if I walk in the Spirit, I don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Is that right? Galatians chapter 5, we don't have to turn there. Watch. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You know what he says? He says, listen, if you're led by the Holy Spirit, that's the only way you can get it. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. One of the indications is that you can be led. That means you got the right master. You're going to be led by somebody. Yes, we are. You're going to be led by somebody. So you know what? I'd just soon be led by the Lord. You say, why? Because I know His road ends in the right place. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, here's a principle that you need to grab a hold of. The Bible says, but as it is written, I hath not seen, talking about following the Lord, talking about not yielding to temptation, talking about having our faith stretched out, our faith tested. The Bible says that I hath not seen, neither the ear heard, neither the inner of the heart of man, the things that God, which God hath prepared for them that love Him, but God hath revealed them. How did He reveal them to us? Verse 10, by His what?
Spirit.
For the Spirit searcheth all the things, yea, the deep things of God. You know what He says? Watch verse 11. The Spirit's the only one that can interpret the book for you. You don't need a commentary.
Amen.
You don't need Joseph Smith. That's so offensive. You don't need Muhammad or Maroney, the angel Moroni. 18 wings. Golden plates. That's what they believe. You should know that and you shouldn't be offended by that. People are going to hell believing that. You don't need Mary to show you. Why does that bother you? Something wrong with you. You've taken the Holy Spirit saying, I'll lead you. Amen. Lead you individually. Are you a child of God? Amen. The Holy Spirit leads you. Amen. Watch what He says. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, and the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the Spirit of man, which is in him, capital or low, a lowercase s there. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God knows them. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, if you're saved, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. Which the Bible says, things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But watch it. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're, how are they discerned? Spiritually discerned. Acts chapter number 15. You want to go back there now? Acts chapter number... I think I left you in 11. Acts chapter number 11. Then we'll go to 15. Preacher, what about all these temptations? Listen, the first temptation there is to do something at the wrong place in the wrong time. The second temptation has to do with your pride. It has to do with you make God do something. Put Him in a box. Go like the fellow said on TV several years back, go ahead and go to the car dealership and buy the Cadillac and trust God to pay for it. How's that working out for you? Go down there and get it, and you drive off the lot, and then the first time the payment comes due, say, listen, man, God said He's going to write the check for that. So, okay, where can I find God? Well, He's up there in heaven. Well, would you know His signature if He wrote on something? How's He going to write me a check? Well, God said He'd take care of it. I'm just trusting God. 3 months later, they're repoing your car. Well, God, why'd you do that? Because I never told you to jump off the pinnacle of the temple. You're not going to put God in a box and make Him rescue you if you're stupid enough to jump off the pinnacle of the temple. You know what He's going to do? He's going to break the fool neck. Too many people nowadays, you know what they do? Well, I'm just going to trust God. Fine line between faith and stupidity. You better make sure that God is in what you're doing. You say, well, preacher, what do I do? Okay, I'll give you an illustration here. I'll get back to this in a second. I'll give you an illustration. God don't quit calling you if He wants you. Samuel goes in there to Eli. He says, preacher, you call me? He said, call you, man. Stop waking me up in the middle of the night. It's hard for an old man to get some sleep. Get back there and go to sleep, boy. Having a nightmare. Too much pizza or something. Leave me alone. He goes back in there and he lays down. Samuel! Preacher, you call me? I told you I didn't call you. If I call you, you'll know when I call you. Now get your blessed assurance back in there and cover up and go to sleep. You know the story. Third time he comes back. Can I ask you a question? Did not God already call him three times? Three times. Third time he comes to the preacher, he says, hey, preacher, did you call me? The preacher says, I didn't call you. But if you hear it again, say, here am I, Lord. Speak, thy servant heareth, right? So he lays down, and the fourth time he calls him. See, God doesn't require you to just jump on the first run to make sure it's Him. You know why? He knows. He wants you to have a little bit of sense. Lord, is that you? Lord, is that you? Lord, is that you? Fourth time, okay, Lord, I guess that's you. And He answers it. God dealing with you about preaching? Take the phone off the hook. I know right where all this is going. Oh, my God. Listen, God wants you that bad, He'll call you again. You take the phone off the hook and the intercom starts going off, or all of a sudden, you know, somebody's tapping on your door. You might want to listen to that one. But a lot of times you let emotion get you. A lot of times you let a burden get you. I don't have time to go into it, but some of you get a bad burden going and you start operating under a burden and not a calling. A burden won't keep you alive when things get tough. You get burdened for something, you get worried about something, you get bothered by something, and you just got to go do something, you got to go do something, you got to go do something. You get all on fire for it, and the next thing you know, it's like a Roman candle. And then it all fizzles out. And you're like, well, what happened? It was a burden. It wasn't a calling. You better make sure when it comes to the things of God, you're called to do those things. God's not going to be offended when you say, Lord, is that really you? Lord, I'm just checking. Is that you? I mean, my own experience is, Lord, I know that ain't my flesh. I know that. But I know the devil would just love to mess things up. So I want to make sure that it ain't the devil. Lord, I no disrespect. I'm willing. But could you show me? You say, well, I will just go. Well, help yourself, man. Enjoy the ride. Go ahead. But you better make sure it ain't the devil saying jump off the pinnacle. Bible believers are a funny lot of people. They think that it's spiritual to do something crazy or rude or obnoxious or arrogant. You have any sense about things. You don't know how to sit down and talk with people for a while and converse with people for a while. You got to go right for the jugular right off of Jump Street. You got to do the erratic stuff. You know what I found out? I found people that do the erratic stuff don't last. They burn out real quick. Give me a steady ox that plow all day long. He won't play fast and he won't be as pretty as a horse. But I guarantee every time I go to the paddock, all he'll say to you is, "Moo." You hook him in the traces and he knows exactly what to do. I'm talking to be here 20 years after the first jump off the pinnacle. Some of you have jumped off the pinnacle a couple of times, haven't you? How's that working out for you? I got a friend of mine, he jumped 5 times now. He's busted all the pieces. He ain't even in church anymore. I'm going to prove I'm spiritual. I'm going to answer the call of the mission field. Okay, stupid. That's rough out there, man. You go into a country, you don't even know the language, you don't even know the people. But it looks so spiritual to all of us over here. When you get there, we'll find out how spiritual you are. Just trying to help you. That sensationalism, that gimmick stuff. That you know, swallow a goldfish or get an elephant in the church or a parachute with Jesus Saves, you know, to get everybody to come in. Some kind of a gimmick thing. Don't trust the Lord. Do it the fast way. Just go take out a big loan and trust God. That's a good way to get your church in trouble. I came out of your office this morning. And the Lord's going, whoa, 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 whoa. Acts chapter number 15. Acts chapter number 15. They got a spiritual dispute going on here. Right? Peter and Paul are having a discussion here, doctrinal controversy. Verse 1, certain men which came down from Judea taught brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. There's the controversy. The Apostle Paul is saying, hey man, it's not of works lest any man should boast. You don't have to be circumcised anymore. The Jews are saying, listen, we appreciate what Paul's saying, but you got to add something to that. You see, how'd they resolve it? Well, there's all kind of answers to every problem that's in this particular passage, but in the interest of time, because I see y'all are already watching your watches, I'm having a good time, but I see some of you kind of giving me the look. Oh, watch what he says. Look in verse number 28. Verse number 28. The Bible says this, for it seemed good to the... Thank you, whoever said that. For it seemed good to who? Holy Ghost. And to us. To lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from meats offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from fornication, from which you keep yourselves. Ye shall do well. Fare you well. I'm done. I'm done with it. You know what? After that time right there, Peter never once again said anything else about anything about circumcision. The Jews didn't. Paul said, it's by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. You say, well, what resolved it? The Holy Ghost resolved it. I guess that somebody would have to know how the Holy Ghost speaks in order to get it. Back to Matthew chapter number 4, wouldn't you say? People tell you this all the time, that you know what, if you just jump, God will catch you. I've seen that. You know what the Bible says to you? The Bible says to you, be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Matthew chapter number 4. Just be steadfast. You're not going to put God in the box. I'm going to say this. This is a little bit harsh, but I need to say this. God's not worried about your reputation. He's not worried about His reputation. God's not going to worry about what you do just because He's worried about how you're going to look. He's no respecter of persons. Do you understand? He don't care. You know what? He'll let you fall flat on your face. He'll let you jump out there and go, you know, get out on the missionary trail, and you wind up out there and you get all this money, you get all this stuff and all that kind of stuff. And you're like, okay, God, it must be your will for me to go. And God's going, I never told you to go.
Right.
And you're like, but Lord, what am I going to say to all these people? You're going to give them their money back and tell them you're sorry you missed God's call. And go get a job and do what I tell you to do.
Yeah.
Well, God, what will they think of you? I ain't worried about what they think of you. The truth is you're worried about what they think of you.
Right.
You missed me.
Amen.
You missed me. God's not worried about your reputation. God didn't call you to do something. He don't care if you flop. He's interested in teaching you something.
Amen.
Next time, you know what will happen? After you get your hand paddled pretty good, you'll not be so quick to jump out there and try to prove how spiritual you are. Don't put God in a box. If God will bless me, I'm going to, you know, win the lottery and I'll get all the money. You don't put God in a box like that. You do that with business sometimes. Act all spiritual at business and stuff like that, because the fact of the matter is you're kind of trying to arm bar the Lord and say, I'm being spiritual, Lord, so bless my business and give me a little ching on the side. Quiet there, I noticed that one. Real quiet there. That don't make you spiritual at all. You do it whether you announce it or don't announce it. God blesses you, don't bless you. He knows what He's doing. I think He does. All right. Now watch. The next thing was here is that there's this perceived lack of provision. God's got it under control. The first temptation is physical. It's about your appetite. The second one is psychological. You're interested in acceptance or approval or applause. Jump off the pinnacle of the temple. Be recognized. Nobody recognized you and you parachuted from the Empire State Building spiritually. And everybody's like, yeah? Can I tell you this about the ministry? The ministry is not about receiving your approval or your affirmation from recognition. The ministry is, I do what God tells me to do, whether anybody thinks I'm called or not. They didn't think John the Baptist was called. Was he or not? I believe he was. No greater born of a woman, as far as a preacher, than John the Baptist. I believe he was. Elijah? Yes, sir, Lord. You're the Tishbite. Yes, sir, Lord. Go get him. Okay, what do you want me to do? Go hide yourself. You called me to the ministry. What do you want me to do? Hocus pocus dominocus. No, go hide yourself. What you call me to hide me for? Trying to get you ready for what I'm going to show you. 3 years later, hey Elijah, yes sir, go show yourself. But you just said 3 years of hiding myself. I know, but now it's time to go show yourself. Drop the bomb on him and then go back and hide. Watch it, Mount Carmel. Big, finally got his chance. Every preacher's dream. He's got everybody in the entire city, everybody in the town, everybody in the country is up on the mountaintop and he gets to preach. I don't care what you say. That's a preacher's dream, man. I don't care if he thinks he's about to get eaten by a lion. He's like, man, there's 50,000 people here fixing to watch me. He's got a million people at least in attendance and he's fixing to have a sermon and he's up there, man, and he calls down fire from God and bam! That sacrifice gets struck and the rain starts coming and he goes into town. He can't even catch a ride in town and don't even get a biscuit to eat. His affirmation wasn't recognition. You know where his affirmation came? Well, just a little bit later in a few verses he's over under the juniper tree. When nobody loves me, I alone am still faithful. Lord, nobody is here but me. But it's enough. Let me die. Curls up down there. You know the story. Says, nobody cares. Nobody appreciates me. The struggles of the ministry. Nobody appreciates me. I don't have a wife. I don't have kids. I don't have nothing. I gave it all for God. He's crying. Really. He's a real preacher. He's crying. Lord, I brought down fire down. Man, I can't even believe that. No revival. Kill me. Nobody even knows. The Lord says, I do. What? I do. So all that matters is I know. It's not about recognition. I hate to tell you, old man, ain't nobody ever going to accept you. Every time you show up, they're going to say, here he comes, the one that hates me. Ain't nobody going to like you, old man, but I like you. So as long as you got my approval, you're the perfect will of God, but you don't ever determine if you're in the will of God by whether or not you're recognized or accepted. You don't ever want to look for your confirmation there. Trying to hurry. Watch Matthew chapter number 4. Are you back there? The second one's psychological. Our mind plays tricks on us, don't it? Especially when we get tired. You ever get tired? You don't? You don't ever get tired? You're too hopped up on energy drinks, you know? And it's like, no, I'm doing great, man. I'm never tired. You can always tell those enemies, you know, there's like six cans of Red Bull. They're like, hey, how are you doing? Are you tired? No, I feel great. I'm in the spirit, man. It's like, are your eyes always like that? Yes. I even sleep with my eyes like this. Their heart's going, and they're there again. Like this. I hate to see them when they crash. I'm in the spirit. No, you ain't. You're on speed is what you are. They want to see him do a sign, a wonder, and a miracle, don't they? God, do something supernatural to prove it. You better know how God talks to you. One more. You ready? Watch. He says it's written. He shall give the angels charge over thee in verse number 6, quoting scripture to him. He misquotes it a little bit. Watch it. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Answers with Scripture. He knows when the Father spoke to him what it meant. Verse 8. The devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, the glory of them. He saith, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Just so you understand, it was Satan's to give at this time.
Right.
So that belonged to the Lord. Not yet. The atonement hadn't been made.
Right. Right.
I'll just go ahead and let you have it now. You get a chance to preach. You know what will happen? Somebody will come along and say, I think you're ready to pastor. We have a church over here and we think it's time for you to pastor. Really? Well, I've been ready to pastor for a long time. I've just been waiting for that old man to die. It looks like he ain't going to die for a while. So, okay. I'm ready to go. You sure about that? You sure that's God that opened the door? I'm not saying it's not. You sure about that? You sure there's been enough of a cross before you're ready for that crowning moment? There's been enough suffering, enough trouble where you can minister to other people? I'll learn along the way. Oh, okay. Have a good time. Well, Bob Jones Sr., you know, he started when he... Yeah, you ain't no Bob Jones Sr. Let's be careful who you compare yourself to. Watch what happens. He saith, all these things will I give thee if they'll fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto them, get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. At the end of that particular time, you know what happens? The next thing that he tempts you with is not psychological. It's about power. One of the greatest temptations that we have is power over others. I'll give you all the kingdoms. If you just get down now. You know what Jesus Christ never said? You ever watch His ministry from this point forward? Now you correct me if I'm wrong. I'm the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I believe I'd be expecting you to be getting down and bowing down whenever I come around. I'm the boss, you understand what I'm telling you? Yes, sir. Make sure you don't forget that. Chief cook, bottle washer, that's me. I'm the big shot. I'm the big show in town. Nobody's greater than me. I'm the best. I'm the biggest. Yeah, that's me. You know who did that? The carnal apostles were arguing over who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom. The Lord said, oh, I remember this one. I had this temptation when I was in the wilderness. He wanted me to have the power then. He wanted me to have the crown then and not have to go through the suffering as a servant first. So while they're over there arguing, he goes and gets him a bucket of water and a towel and girds himself up. And while they're fussing over who's going to be the greatest because they're so great, he's down there on the ground and he's got that bowl of water and a towel and he's got their sandals off and got that big old number 18 in the wash bowl and he's washing their feet. Because you know what he said? You're not going to give me the crown until I've borne the cross first.
Amen.
You better know how God talks to you.
Yes,
you better know how the Holy Spirit speaks to you. I can assure you it ain't the right spirit when they're telling you to have your crown now. To have your day in the limelight now. To have your recognition now. The Pharisee comes up to the Lord and he says, Lord, I did this and I did this and I did this. And the Lord said, you have your reward. What do I get when I get to heaven? You done got all your recognition down there. You ain't getting down there and getting it up here too.
Right.
Preacher, what are you trying to tell me? I'm trying to tell you. You better know how God talks to you. Especially in these last days. You better realize that the Holy Spirit lives inside you and He's your God, your director, and your teacher. You better have your nose pressed between the pages of that book. You better have your prayer line opened up. And you better be saying, God, what direction do you want me to go? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to do it? Want me to sit? I'll sit. Want me to go? I'll go. If the cloud moves, I'm up and going. If the cloud stays put, I'm staying. The Lord, it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. Paul says you to run your race. You to run your race. You say, what are you saying to me, preacher? Ain't nobody in the same lane. I just run my race. That's all he told me to do. I can't run your race, and I can't tell what you're doing when you're over there running in the race. I look behind, I think you're behind. And the Lord's like, he's done lapped you three times. You think he's behind, but you're so far behind you think you're first. You better run your race. All right, here comes the lifting of the burden. If you're doing anything in this church or for the Lord that has created such a burden on you that you feel like you can't hardly make another step, the Bible says His yoke is easy and His burden is
light.
Can I just tell you, somebody's trying to load you up and make your service to the Lord something it was never intended to be. I just said, don't get heavy every now and then, don't get rough, but if you're doing something like that, I'm here to tell you today what the Lord's saying. That's somebody else's yoke. That's a yoke of iron. That's not my yoke. If Christianity gets to the point where you're just dragging all the time and it gets hard, can I tell you, your faith needs to be stretched? And sometimes your faith needs to be stretched by saying, you know what, Lord? Maybe I'm walking when you want me sitting. What a way to end a sermon. Preacher, everybody's supposed to be in service, not unless God calls you to be. Well, what will the people say? I've just spent an hour on that. What will God say? You doing what God wants you to do? Praise the Lord. What is it? I don't know what God wants you to do. All I know is what He wants me to do. Let's stand together to be dismissed. We won't give an invitation today. Hope that was some instruction that might be beneficial to you. Hope you'll spend some time maybe this afternoon with the Lord. Let Him deal with you about how He talks to you. Let Him be your guide. Let Him be your director. Let Him be your teacher. Don't let Him get you, the devil get you to do something before the right time. Father, pray You bless Your Word this morning. Lord, thank You for this great group of people that are here. Pray, Father, You'll be with them. Lord, help them to have a personal walk with You. Lord, help them to know how You talk to them individually. Help them, Lord, with their daily walk with Thee. Pray You'll be with us as we go our separate ways this afternoon and bring us back this evening at 5 o'clock. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.